She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pain. Happy overcast Saturday to ya. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. We're here every Saturday morning with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Colby Sapp.
Hello.
And me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053. If you've got a question, maybe you're going back and forth between a couple different cars. You're thinking of a Toyota Camry or a Honda Accord, and you want advice on what's going to work best for you. Now's a great time to call. And as always, you can send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And if you're out car shopping today, feel free to call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. And as always, Autoflex.com. And if you'd like to follow along with any of the stories that we're going to do on the air today, go to Autoflex.com, like us, look at our fan page.
Facebook.
Look at our Facebook, and we'll have all the stories and a lot more car news there.
They should change it to Fanbook, just for you, David.
I'll write a letter.
We do that all the time.
The Autoflex Fanbook.
It makes sense. We are 105.3 The Fan.
Well, actually, you don't have friends on a commercial page. You have fans.
Oh.
And that's what trips me up.
See, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, it makes some
Autoflex
sense.
Autoflex Facebook fan page.
It is.
Yeah, you got
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
A mouthful.
Say
very
that
good.
Three times fast.
Nope, just the one time. Good.
You know, I think a lot of the people that listen to the show listen because we talk about things that most people don't ever find out about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just inside car stuff. It's things that happen in the industry. People see the results sometimes, but they don't really understand why and stuff. Let's talk about one of those things right now. A number of car dealerships in the Dallas-Fort Worth area have names on them. Trusted names, Bankston, Lute Riley, McDavid.
Sewell, right.
Yeah. Some of those are owned by the families or individuals that's names are on them. But some
Rusty
of those.
Wallace.
Some of those. Yeah. And Rusty Wallace is actually owned by Rusty Wallace.
Right.
Some of those are not. Some of those have been bought by conglomerates. And when they bought all those stores, they didn't want the buying public to think they'd been bought out by a big corporation.
Uh-huh.
So
they still
left
that small town mom
yeah, they,
and pop
they,
feel.
They want that mom and pop. They didn't want people to think that a big corporation based in California or New York or wherever, Chicago, had bought this company. But this week, something really, really revolutionary happened. AutoNation, which is one of those big box companies, they've got dealerships in 21 states, I believe. They're changing the name of a lot of their dealerships to AutoNation. So I think the first big change anyone around here has noticed is that Bankston is no longer Bankston.
Wow.
The new commercials have the same music. They still rip off the Beach Boys music. and instead of Bankston, it says AutoNation.
Interesting.
And the people are jumping up and down and cheering with the AutoNation banner in the background. And the thing is, this was not a quick move. It's taken years before they actually felt the confidence to do this. And they feel like that they have enough consistency of service over their entire chain. Part of their worry was that you could own all of these car stores and some maniac running one for you in Oshkosh, Wisconsin could do something terrible.
Right.
And then it would besmirch, as they say, the entire chain.
Right.
But they feel like they have management and personnel in place now to give consistent service across the country. So Bankston is no longer Bankston. Interestingly enough, on our Facebook, I published this story, and someone typed back, do you think it's going to affect any of the stores that AutoNation is renaming? And real quickly, Apple Way in Washington State, Auto Way in Tampa, Auto West in San Francisco, Bankston in Dallas, Champion in Houston, Austin, and Corpus Christi, Courtesy in Orlando, Desert in Las Vegas, Dobbs in Memphis, a lot of chains.
There's a bunch more.
Yeah. They said, do you think it will hurt their business? And I said, and just how I feel personally, I think with Bankston it could, because everyone knew the Bankston family. In fact, I was privileged to know Mr. Bankston, W.O., and I know James Bankston. And so I wrote back that, yeah, I think with Bankston it might hurt their mm-hmm. stores. I don't know that it will, but I think Bankston was a trusted name in the car business, and people went there because of the name
right.
in a lot of cases. And James Bankston wrote back to me.
Oh.
Yeah, which was really, really nice because I hadn't heard from him in a couple of years. And he said, you know, it might. because, you know, my family built that business and we built that reputation of service over the years. And so it could hurt them. So right. Anyway, it's an interesting twist. Now, the other thing is they're not the only ones, because Sonic Automotive, Asbury Group, there's a number of big corporate groups that have bought dealership chains in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. So when you see a name on a dealership, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person with that name is involved. In fact,
Luke Riley is a Sonic.
It's a Sonic, yeah. And the McDavid dealerships are all Asbury groups. And what it very well could mean is the person that's name is on the dealership is now on an island somewhere close to Tahiti.
They own their own island now.
They got paid an awful lot of money when they sold those
now
deals.
Now he's on Luke Riley Island.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe they could still be involved somehow in the dealership. But within the story also, the Highline dealerships are a lot... The manufacturers are a lot less likely to change their name. For example, BMW of Dallas is an AutoNation store.
Oh.
But they're probably not going to change their name to AutoNation.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably stay BMW because they like to have their brand and the geographic location connected.
Right.
Like BMW of Dallas, BMW.
I imagine for the seller, not with BMW of Dallas, but with a name brand like a Bankston or a Luke Riley, when you're giving up your power, but they still have your brand, that could also be bad for you sometimes if they don't manage it effectively.
Exactly. It could, and there was a little talk of that, but when those dealers sold those stores, they got paid a tremendous amount of money. And so I'm sure that there was some concern from that,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, under the circumstances, you go ahead. They sold because it was well worth it to sell. They built those businesses, and they had a right to sell them, and they did. So it may have been a concern, but it wasn't huge. One other thing, interesting story, came out of NADA, which is going on, and that's a National Automobile Dealers Association conference. It's going on in Orlando right now. And there's been a lot of talk in the industry over the last couple of years about manufacturers basically forcing their franchisees or the local car dealers to build new showrooms.
Taj Mahal showrooms.
Yeah, if you look around Dallas, a Reliable Chevrolet has got a gigantic showroom, big new place. There's a lot of places.
And Park Place Lexus.
Park Place Lexus, exactly.
The new BMW stores are both ends.
Yeah,
the
gigantic.
One in Plano and the one BMW of Dallas. Huge, fabulous.
In a lot of cases, and in some cases, like in the case of Park Place, Mr. Schnitzer decided to build a new showroom, and he built a massive deal. That was his decision. Mm-hmm. Certainly Mercedes and Porsche didn't object, but that was his decision. In a lot of cases, it's not the decision of the dealer, the franchisee. The manufacturer pretty well dictates, hey, you've got to build a new showroom, and it's got to look like this. Volkswagen is a good example of that. All the VW stores are starting to look like, well, guess what? The news out of NADA is it doesn't make any money.
The big showrooms?
Nope. You spend a lot of money to build these great big places, and the manufacturers are basically mandating this is done, and it's not making them a dime. Now, if you are in a little country store that hadn't been renovated in 30 years, it'll probably pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a store with a lousy service facility, you haven't updated that in years, you build a new store and a new service facility, the service facility certainly will pay you back because that almost always works.
Mm-hmm.
But on these showrooms, where these big monstrous showrooms with the glass and the shiny stuff, and there's no real return on them, especially dealers in metropolitan areas.
People are shopping more on the internet now.
Exactly.
And then they just go in to pick up their car.
Exactly. So the dealers are suggesting that the future may not look like the present. They're suggesting that the future, there may be small satellite stores where people can go and demonstrate cars if they'd like to in their neighborhood or close to their neighborhood, rather than having these mammoth big factories that people are selling cars out of that cost millions and millions of dollars.
Like the way we do it, maybe, where we bring the car to you if you'd like. We bring it to your home or office, and you can test drive it with the whole family and not have to come to our place and spend 5 hours, and the kids are hungry, and they're crying and whining, and everybody's unhappy, and the two of you, mom and dad, are kind of at each other's throats before it's all over with. You can't really make a very wise financial decision when you're frustrated.
Yes, or when you're rushed.
Or rushed,
hungry,
tired.
You know, Jimmy Bankston told me one time, he said this to me. He said, you guys are the way of the future. He said these big centralized stores will eventually go away. He could see that years ago, that these centralized stores will go away, and it'll become a more service-oriented industry than it is a destination point. I don't really know. And the other thing is there's such a bad feeling. Most people put off going to shop for a car because they don't want to go through the experience. Mm-hmm. So if you give them a great, big, really nice place, it doesn't make them like the experience anymore. You have to change the experience. And I think that's where they're missing it from the factory side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's really nice because if you're General Motors, you want all of your stores to be big and magnificent, because mainly because the franchisor is going to pay for it. Franchisee is going to pay for it. You're not. So the guy that's got the franchise has got to pay for it, and you tell him how big this has to be and how shiny it has to be, and he pretty well has to build it. So it doesn't cost you anything to look really good. Everybody would like that.
Right.
But it doesn't change the experience. Now, when you go to Autoflex, you deal with one person all the way through. You don't have to go through all the hassles. It's easy. It's fast. It's fun. If you want to drive three or four cars, we've got them lined up for you, ready for you when you get there. That's a different experience than most people go through. So by mandating these big stores doesn't change what keeps people from not liking to shop for cars.
I have to say, over all the years that I've been with Autoflex, compared to my experience at the dealerships, and dealerships offer a great service.
Mm-hmm.
And for first of all, we get our cars there too. But they have to have the service departments. They also offer body shops, although there are body shops separately from that. So we certainly can't knock car dealerships. You just have to change the experience for depending on the customer that you have. Some people like to go to a dealership. But what my clients really liked was the fact that I solved the equation for them. I did the math. They called me and said, Tammy, here's the deal. This is my budget. Here are all the kind of features that we want on our vehicle. This is the size of our family. These are the miles we drive. And this is the kind of fuel economy we need. What vehicles will fit
right.
our criteria?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing.
And then I did it all for them and narrowed it down to maybe two or three, and it was boom.
Jimmy said, easy. One other thing he said was the business model that we have. So we lease all makes and models.
Mm-hmm.
He said that is the most optimal model you can have, because if somebody calls us and asks us what's a good car, we actually tell them.
Right.
Because we're not selling a brand of car.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of misconceptions too. Not wide misconceptions, but car dealers, for the most part, are great guys.
Right.
They really are. Most of them started out selling cars and worked their way into a big business.
Mm-hmm.
So they know how to treat people, and they're good people. Now, you can have bad employees in any business, and just like at the grocery store, you can have bad people. Have you been to a McDonald's or to a Burger King or to a Jack in the Box and been met with somebody that worked there that you weren't real happy with?
They had a bad day.
It can happen anywhere, so it can happen. But car dealers, for the most part, are really good people. In fact, Autoflex Leasing fan texter, Big Billy Barrett and Rusty Wallace were good neighbors and good friends. Mr. Barrett was a class act and a Christian man, very generous with the community, and that's absolutely true in both cases. Another Autoflex Leasing fan texter, new grand showrooms make me feel uncomfortable, like you're about to pay too much for the car. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so they can pay off the store. I've thought the same thing before.
When you see that new BMW store up there in Plano, and the one, I mean, sometimes you got to think, well, who's paying for that?
Right.
It is, you know what,
but at the same time, I don't want to go to a shack.
No, I don't either.
No.
I've got to say something about classic BMW, too. I love that. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
God, it's good looking.
And then they do that great Cars and Coffee.
Cars and Coffee, yeah. First Saturday of every month.
So I definitely encourage everybody to go out for that.
Anyway, that was the story out of NADA this morning, the manufacturers. And the other thing, one of the sidelights of the story, the dealers had tried to come up with a whole lot of numbers on whether or not individuals did make or didn't make more money once they built a great big showroom. And they really couldn't come up. They weren't fully prepared to demonstrate that, and so they're pretty upset about that, because the feeling in the industry is it's not worth it to build a gigantic, monstrous place. You could build a smaller place and have it be very nice, but people shop online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over half the people that contact us online.
That's where it starts, and then we take their car to them.
So, maybe spend some of that money on your website and not on your showroom.
And again, maybe satellite offices or something like that. I mean, that would make more sense than to build these big destination points that evidently cost more than they're worth.
Right. All right. We will be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text number is 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. AutoFlex.com if you'd like to get an appraisal on your car, if you'd like to set an appointment up, if you'd like to set up a test drive, if you'd like to apply for a lease or a purchase online, or if you'd like to see all our great pre-owned cars. We got a ton of 2011, 2012 pre-owned cars right now where we've early terminated leases, that kind of thing. And they're really great cars, still factory warranty left on them and available. You can sell them. Pardon me. You can buy them. We can sell them. Or you can lease them.
You talked about the misconceptions earlier, and that's one of the big ones. When people hear pre-owned cars, you think, oh, it's going to be 10 years old. I'm going to get something from the 1990s. But I am always shocked when you guys say we have 2012s, and sometimes there's the occasional, like, 2013 and tons of 2011s. That's still pretty new.
People ask me, well, how can people trade cars so quickly? I don't know. Some people like to waste money. I don't know.
Well, you know,
change their mind.
Yeah, you get bored with a car.
Lose a job. I don't know.
Needs change.
We had John Phillips. We had John Phillips in yesterday, who plays tight end, I guess, for the Cowboys.
He does.
He's tall.
He's a big guy. Uh-huh. He and his lovely wife came by, and they're looking at we've got a 2012 Tundra that has 2,000 miles on it.
Wow.
It's just brand new.
Yeah.
And his agent, I think, found it and said, this will save you a lot of money.
It's not a white truck, is it?
No, it is not a white truck. It is absolutely, it's a black truck. But anyway, he came by and drove that truck yesterday, and he's a big guy.
But
he
fit
fill
okay?
It up? Did he fill it up?
Yeah, he didn't fit okay. His knees are way up, you know, in the front on either side of the steering wheel. And I said, is that, no, his wife said, is that comfortable? He said, fits me like all little trucks do. But he did say he drove an import truck the whole time he was in college, a stick.
Wow,
so a stick shift.
He said, I'm used to it.
Well, I know you've told me before, I've seen the sports gallery at AutoFlex Leasing where all the athletes, all the pro athletes you guys have helped out, they have pictures, or they'll send an autographed jersey, or they'll send a picture of them in front of their new car. And there was one car, I don't remember who it was, but you had told me, David, that they... you had the car customized where the back seats were removed and
Sebastian
the front
Telfair.
Seat. Okay, the front seat was put into the back seat
basically,
so that he could fit.
Yeah, he was. He wanted an Aston Martin Vanquish. When that car first came out, he saw the Bond movie, which is where they introduced the car, and he wanted one, so we sent him one, and he called Stephanie back. She's the sports gal, and he said, I love the car, but I can't get in it. So
that's a problem.
But let me tell you, I mean, that's what we get paid to do. So she found a DOT-approved modification place in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
And we sent the car over there, and they took out the center crossbeam, the frame crossbeam behind the seats. They moved it back 4 inches. They made new seat tracks, moved it back 4 inches, and Sebastian got his Vanquish.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a fun story. We had Victor Cruz was in, I guess, about 2 weeks ago. So we got some cool signed stuff from him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we interviewed some of these players on our show? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what Rohan Marley said?
He's not, well, he was a player.
Speeding? Well, yeah, a different kind of player. But we were asking players, you know, how fast have you driven your cars?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, some don't really want to say, mm-hmm. or they won't give you the exact description of what it was that they were driving. Because, you know, if you're going to drive a little faster than the speed limit, you
right.
don't want anybody to know. But
exactly.
What was it that he said? He said
he didn't drive. He says, Rastaman, don't drive fast.
he says, get pulled over.
He says, when we get pulled over, he says, well, the first thing they say is, what's that smell? That's
exactly.
A true story. He got a car from us about 4 or 5 months ago. Just got another car from us. So.
Uh-huh.
He was, and the other thing about Rohan Marley that no one knew is he was like the number one tackler at UMiami for 2 seasons. He was an amazing college football player and then went on to play in Canada.
Oh, okay.
He was a little small for the NFL, but played in Canada. So Rohan Marley, and he is the character, I'm telling you.
He was quite fun.
The character.
And I remember he was talking about his coffee company that he had just launched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's doing good things
for
his community.
Yeah, it's Mountain Coffee, and it's a big deal now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool...
Got some AutoFlex Leasing fan texts here at 43733. I bought 3 cars through AutoFlex. It was a great, great experience. Frank was our guy.
Thank you
very much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And another person here says, I went to AutoFlex yesterday after listening to you guys for months. I owe $3,800 on a 2008 Nissan Versa with 118,000 miles. I've got baby number two on the way, so we need more space.
Yes, you do.
Would I be considered a first-time buyer?
Maybe. You know what? Here's the thing. We can help almost everyone, but it is going to be limited by the amount of credit or the amount of history, credit history that you have, or it's going to be boosted. And the other thing is, even if you've been somewhere else and told they can't help you or you can't have something, we've got over 40 lenders now. Mm-hmm. And the reason we keep all of those lenders available is to help everyone we can. So even if you've been somewhere else and said, you know, you can't have this or you don't qualify for that, you need to at least give us a call. It doesn't take long. And let us tell you whether or not we can help you, because you're going to find we can help you when a lot of other people can't, just because of the number of lenders. Now, let me explain this. Most automobile dealers have a loyalty to the manufacturer's bank. So GM, General Motors, Ally, Ford, Ford Credit, that kind of thing. So most of their business goes through that one bank, and that's the bank floor plans them, and it's a reciprocal kind of an agreement, and it works well for them. But sometimes they can't help you because mm-hmm. they just don't have the number of banks and the number of resources we do. So give us a call if you've been told you can't have something, mm-hmm. and we'll try to tell you what we can.
That's right. Let's talk about turbos, because I know a lot of cars have the turbo option, but it might not be so good for your mileage.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's not necessarily bad, but what we're seeing is advertisements from the manufacturers that the turbo is going to give you more power and better mileage. And what we're finding is that sometimes you don't get everything. You can get more power, but you may not get better mileage with the turbo. In fact, Consumer Reports is now on sort of a quest, because after Hyundai Kia revealed that their mileage, or after it was revealed that their mileage didn't meet their advertised standards, now Consumer Reports is going in and testing a lot of different cars. And so they tested the 2013 Fusion Turbo 1.6 liter. They also tested the GM Chevy Cruze with a 1.4 liter turbo, and they found that even though the power was good, the mileage still wasn't what it was advertised to be. So you can't necessarily get power and mileage. The turbo is going to give you more power with a smaller engine, because mm-hmm. what it does is it actually forces air and fuel into the car, into the motor, so that you get more power from the engine that's running. You know, more, the additional pressure causes more power. But you tend to lose a little gas mileage when you do that, because it pushes more fuel in when it pushes the air in.
And probably a lot of us tend to lose fuel economy because it's kind of fun to drive a turbo.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when they were interviewed, GM and Ford both had about the same answer. They said, hey, if you drive with your foot in the carburetor, you're going to get less gas mileage. Guess what? So,
well, that's the bottom line with any vehicle.
Well, but the other thing is, I mean, you have to, and again, we don't care what kind of car you get, but if you looked at the Fusion, you'll find out that you get more efficiency with the Toyota or the Honda Accord, the Toyota Camry or the Honda Accord, than you do with their standard four-cylinder engine than you do with a turbo. So there, it's just, you know, if you're out there in the marketplace shopping, you really have to do your homework and look at Consumer Reports. I read a lot of stuff online, and people always say, well, Consumer Reports is biased toward this or biased toward that. I don't honestly think they're biased toward anything. I think they just give you a straight shot. I think the advertising you read is always biased by whoever pays for it.
Right.
So you have to really go out and do your own research.
All right. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Sepp, and me, Sybil. Our number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And as always, AutoFlex Leasing is open for your business at both locations, Richardson and Arlington. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area, AutoFlex.com, if you would prefer to deal online.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, if you have a smartphone, even if you have a semi-dumb phone, you can have an Android or you can have an iPhone. All of our applications To reach Autoflex, everything you can do it right on your smartphone. You don't need a special app or anything. Just go to autoflex.com. You can see the inventory. You can apply for a car online. You can do everything on your phone without just dial us up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's optimized for the smartphone. I love it.
It is.
It makes it so easy. You don't have to try to use your thumbs to make the page all big, and then you end up clicking on the wrong thing.
No, it's just sort of basic good business, actually. Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Porsche Cayenne now has a diesel option. I heard it gets great gas mileage. Is it worth the extra money up front if I plan to keep it, say, 8 years? That's an interesting question, because we're about to see the re-dieselization of America, maybe. Because in the next year, the Chevy Cruze, the Mazda 6, and the Jeep Grand Cherokee are going to come out with diesel engines. And so we haven't really seen diesels in years. But they're all over Europe. That's what the Europeans drive. And they work. They're great. The Mercedes-Benz BlueTEC diesel, it's got more power, I think, than their gas vehicle does. And it's quiet, and they don't smoke anymore. VW has been making diesels for years and selling them. In fact, they're the number one selling diesel in the country.
That'll make their cardiologists happy.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That's good, though. So my advice on the Porsche Cayenne, a couple of things. It's an interesting thing with diesel. Diesel is taxed more heavily than gasoline. So if you looked at the gas tax, and this is in Texas, the gas tax is about 56 cents per gallon.
Currently,
56.8, and that includes federal and state tax. So every time you buy a gallon of gas, 56.8 cents of it goes to taxes.
In Texas or nationwide?
In Texas. That's okay. Just because they're all different. In Texas, diesel is taxed at 68.8 cents. Mm. So it's about a 17.5% difference in the tax on diesel. And that's why diesel costs more than gasoline. Otherwise, it wouldn't cost more.
But it lasts longer, doesn't it?
Well, the engines tend to run longer, and they get better gas mileage. In fact, they get up to 20% better gas mileage. So, and if gas goes to $4.50 a gallon, then a diesel pays for itself pretty darn quickly. But with gas below $4.50 a gallon, there's still a lag because of the additional taxation of the diesel. Now, if you're going to get a Cayenne and keep it 8 years, a diesel will save you money. And it does cost more going in because diesel engines cost more going in. But it's going to be interesting to see now what happens with the Cruze and the Mazda 6 and the Grand Cherokee coming out with diesel engines, especially that Grand Cherokee, because at four-wheel drive, off-road, diesels produce a tremendous amount of torque. So they work really, really good off-road for vehicles.
That's why they put them in those trucks for such a long time.
They hold. If you got to hold, you know, haul 182,000 pounds, there's no better way than do it with
the
diesel.
Not just the semis, but even like the 1-ton trucks, the doolies, sure, that are pulling horse trailers and things like that.
And the other thing is, when we see those trucks come in trade, you're not looking at a truck with 70 or 80,000 miles in
they
it.
Have
you're
170.
Looking, yeah, you, yeah, 240,000 miles, mm-hmm, things like that. Those diesels, they run forever. They sort of self lubricate, which is sort of neat. The
or 323,000 miles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So everyone knows whenever you get into a wreck or if you're a bad driver, if you get a lot of speeding tickets, your insurance ends up going up. But now there's a story that you might pay more for insurance if you're not as wealthy as other people.
Yeah, except it's not a real story.
Oh.
The reason I included that in the agenda today is because I read this story online and it really surprised me because it said the story was titled Poor People Pay More for Insurance Than Bad Drivers. And it was on CBS Money Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And normally the stories there are all great, but it's like anything else, I think. After reading the story and doing a little bit of research, I guess I figured out that the person that wrote the story didn't actually understand what they were writing about, because their conclusion was that poor people paid more money for insurance than people that had bad driving records. The reality is, if you have bad credit, it can cost you more on insurance, a lot more, but it has nothing
bad
to do with
credit
being poor.
Bad credit does not equate to poor.
Yeah. So it was sort of the story headline was one thing, but it really is not true. So again, you sort of have to do your homework when you
read anything.
Yeah.
People don't just believe everything you read.
And the other thing about insurance, we'll say it real quickly, and this was suggested in the story, is you need to shop your insurance at least every 2 years, because insurance companies charge different rates for different things. Say you've got a kiddo in college. Some insurance companies are going to make you put him on your home insurance policy. Other insurance companies are going to let you list him as a part-time driver. It's going to cost you a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to shop around with some different insurance companies, especially for different circumstances, because a lot of companies charge, there's big discrepancies in how much they'll charge you in particular for your situation if you have teenage drivers, if you're a single driver under 24, a lot of different circumstances.
We've been doing this show for over 5 years, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And I remember we had talked about that one time on the air about shopping around for insurance. And I took your advice and I went and called about my homeowner's insurance. And I ended up saving $1,600 a year.
Boom.
Because I didn't
know.
Where's
my consulting?
I know. I need to give you a little kickback on that one. So, yes, proof positive. Please shop around for your insurance because it does
shop
save
everything.
You money.
Check your every kind of service that you have. Every so often you need to assess your, just like that's what big corporations do. Mm-hmm. They start looking at, okay, where are we going to save money? Don't just do it whenever you start getting tight with your money. Do
right.
it. Make that a regular thing.
And then you'll always be saving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Always. And it makes you kind of reassess everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can get a better service. Not just save money, but maybe you can get more for your money instead.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, a great AutoFlex Leasing fan text that just came over. He says that his wife was trading in her second Honda lately. She'd driven an Audi Turbo. She liked it, but the price was a little higher than other options. Drove a Lexus IS, a BMW, drove a Cadillac. Actually went with the Cadillac because they felt like they got the best deal and the best horsepower. The Audi was her favorite, and they ended up with the Cadillac because that's where they felt like it was the best. Oh,
the best value.
And they got it from us. I didn't see that. AutoFlex has such amazing customer service. Thank you. Here's the thing. You got to shop around, folks. You got to, because everything's different these days. And there's really not a lot of bad cars out there like there used to be. If you go back to the 80s and 90s, there were bad cars. But not so much now. So shop around. Speaking of shopping around, Chevrolet has lowered the price on their Malibu by up to $770. And guess why? They want to compete online. And a lot of the websites where you go to shop for cars, they start with the lowest base price car, and that's mm-hmm. the one that's on the top of the list. So they were getting beat by the Camry and the Accord because the base price on them was slightly lower than the base price on the Chevrolet. So Chevrolet has lowered their list price on the car, and it's according to the model between $300 and $700 in order to get under its competitors online.
It's probably a good move.
Well, it's just amazing how much power the internet has given consumers and how everyone has to be very conscious of that power all the time, because their sales jumped, by the way, as soon as they did that. So it's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. What about the future collectible cars?
Yeah, you know, this is the Hagerty Group, and this is an interesting deal. Hagerty insures collectible cars. They are, if you've got a 1957 Corvette, you insured at Hagerty because that's what they do for a living. So they have put out a list of collectible cars up front. These are cars you can get right now that they say will be collectible. And some of them are sort of a no-brainer. The SRT Viper, 640 horsepower, 600 pounds of torque. I think it's going to be collectible no matter what you do because it's really the last big muscle car that has been built. The Viper is just a muscle car. There's no accoutrements. It's not super nice. It's just a big engine. It's mm-hmm. great. Chevrolet Corvette convertible 427. 2013 was the 60th year anniversary of that car. I might suggest the 2014 being the rebirth of the Stingray would also be collectible. The Audi RS5, great car, 414 horsepower, awesome looking car. The Porsche Cayman S, I would argue with this. I don't think the Cayman's ever going to be collectible.
Me either.
Yeah, Chevrolet ZL1 Camaro.
And I disagree on the Audi too.
Yeah, I just like the car. I think it's a good looking
car. I'm just voicing my opinion.
No, I would. They include the Tesla.
You know, I've got one.
They include the Tesla S too, and I agree with them on the Tesla, but maybe for different reasons. Because this last week, Energy Secretary Chu came out and said that they would be looking at making more electric car loans to manufacturers, but it wasn't a sure thing. And companies like Tesla and Fisker may have some problems if they can't get government money because they haven't made money yet.
Anyway, agree on the Chevy Camaro convertible.
Yeah, and you know the other one?
The ZL1.
The Mini Cooper, the John Cooper Works GP.
Now, let me tell you something.
150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I have driven a Mini that had the John Cooper package in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fun with a capital F. That car will handle.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, you remember the Grand Prix driver we had, or the Formula One driver we had on?
Oh, yeah, that was his personal car.
Yeah, he drove a Mini because he loved the way they drove.
Was it James Hinchcliffe?
It was James Hinchcliffe.
Good on.
Yeah, IndyCar driver.
Yeah.
That was his personal car. They are fun.
Anyway, another one of their projected collectibles.
I'd like to see that Dallas Cowboy in one.
Oh, gosh, that'd be funny.
I don't think he'd fit.
John Phillips and a Mini Cooper?
Yeah.
It'd be
Although, you know what? They're big on the inside. Where you sit and stuff, they're big.
I know, but it's folding yourself up to get into it, and then you unfold to drive it.
It's either that or the car kind of fastens in the front like a belt. You just kind of strap it on.
You sort of put the car on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a shirt.
Yeah, just put your hands up and slide it over the top.
I love that.
Anyway, so that's what Hagerty's says will be collectible cars in the future. I don't often...
Yeah, but wait, they've also included the Volkswagen GTI.
I don't agree with that at all.
Well, they... I don't know. It's different. And the Ford Focus ST.
I really don't agree with that.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
So some of that,
at least those are
you don't know where they get that from. They are affordable.
For most of us.
That's true.
The Viper's not affordable for
Autoflex Leasing, Fantext, are there any clunker-type programs?
List.
No. Those are over.
Cash for clunkers programs?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Oh, or do you mean bad car lists? Yeah, there's tons of them. All you have to do is type in 100 worst cars or 10 worst cars, and you'll find the Pontiac Aztec is number one on most lists, but there are plenty of lists out there about bad cars.
All right.
Somehow they get the Gremlin in there, too. I've never understood that.
I like the Gremlin.
Do you?
No.
We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, with Tammy Pickard, with Colby Sapp, and with me, Sybil. Tammy is dancing away in the studio right now.
Chair dancing.
Chair dancing going on. Chair dancing, everybody. Woohoo. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And Autoflex is open today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you live out of the area, autoflex.com. Easiest way in the world to shop for a pre-owned car, because all of those great pre-owned cars are right there at autoflex.com.
Yes, indeedy.
Couple of Autoflex Leasing fan texts. One of good note, talking about insurance, poor people sometimes live in bad neighborhoods, a lot of times, which makes the insurance go up. Where you live or where you register your car has a lot to do with how much your insurance costs. If you're in Denton County, it's a lot cheaper than it is in Dallas County. Less cars, less accidents, less dense population.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think it has to do with the actual neighborhood.
No, but it does have to do with county and stuff.
Okay. I thought it did because they ask you for your zip code. They even ask if you keep your car in a garage or in a carport.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Well, because that's an issue too. They want to know about hail damage
possibilities.
Well, they possibly
break
in. Yeah. So, and then on our Autoflex Leasing fan texture on the
they
clunker.
They break into your car at the movie theater and at the mall.
That's true.
By the way, insurance companies.
Our Autoflex Leasing fan texture that was asking you about the clunker list, evidently he meant to say clunker program left, but his phone autocorrected. He also says apparently he has a government phone because it censors his cursing. That's very funny.
He tried to curse in his text.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
All right, you know, we've talked a lot about automated cars, and that's going to be the thing of the future. At least a lot of people are talking about it. But it really changes everything. And so right now Google is, they're sort of at odds because Google's saying that they're going to have the systems that would make a car fully automated within 5 years, ready to go. So they're saying, hey, if you guys want them, they'll be available. The government is saying, we hadn't figured out how to regulate them yet.
Right. Insurance companies are trying to figure out who's going to be at fault for the accidents.
Now, here's the other thing.
Software fails.
Here's the other thing. There goes automotive insurance as we know it.
Right.
Because if automated cars don't have wrecks, then you don't have auto insurance in the same way. And who's responsible? Because if the driver is not driving, then the responsibility becomes that of the manufacturer of the car or the technology.
There will still be wrecks because our computers crash and our phones mess up.
Well, and that's the other thing.
There'll still be
So if you're driving an automated car and it screws up, you have to be able to unscrew it.
Yeah.
Pretty darn quick. Well, you know, Mercedes has got a car coming out this next year that they say you can take your hands off the wheel for up to 10 seconds. And it will drive itself. Now, if that's and that's sort of going to be a natural progression, so the next thing would be 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40
right.
seconds, and just on at a time. What happens to Holiday Inn? People stop at Holiday Inn when they're driving across country.
Oh, because they get tired.
If your car drives itself, you just sit, lay the seat back.
That's true.
You don't need Holiday Inn.
Will it wake you up, though, when it's time? Like, if the gas light comes on, now is there going to be a bing bong
I would
so
guess.
That you'll look at it?
I would guess. But,
yeah,
you know,
but if you're a really sound sleeper.
I know.
The other, you know, and so now the government is trying to figure out. In fact, this is really interesting.
What about, wait a minute. What about electric self-driving cars? They're not going to go very far anyway.
According to how long the cord is. Okay. There are actually laws being written on the books right now to govern self-driving cars, trying to stay on the cutting edge of technology. In Oregon, State Representative Sarah Gelser has got a bill that will decide who's at fault if there's a wreck, where a car can drive.
What does it say? I want to read it.
How many? Go online. Right. How many? That's what I did. How many electric cars could be on the road at one time?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all kinds of considerations. So it's really, really interesting. And now if you have an electric car or you have a self-driving car, it also changes this. You don't really need a car all the time. You need to get from point A to point B, right?
Right.
Somebody else needs to get to point B. You're finished with your business. You could go get in their car and tell it where to go, and it would take you home, and it would be there then.
Yeah.
Somebody else could hop in it and use it. You go to the mall. You park your car. You go in, you do shopping, you come out, another car comes
That's
and picks you up.
The light rail.
And takes you home. Well, and it's sort of the same thing. And one of the things you read a lot about when your people are talking about this is cars will become as safe as trains, which from time to time do have problems, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All those people killed. But anyway, the interesting thing is it will literally change our entire society because if you go to the mall, just if it picks you up, you can park your car wherever you want to. And it'll come to the door and pick you up when you're ready.
Right.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Or can it drop you off like a valet attendant?
Exactly.
It drops you off and then it goes and parks itself.
Exactly. That's what it does.
Wow.
Great Autoflex Leasing fan text. If the car's already driving and it runs low on gas, wouldn't it automatically drive to a gas station? Well,
how
sure
do it know?
Would.
It'd be like a thermos.
Well, yeah, who knows? I guess, how would that work? Do you type in on your GPS your destination and it just drives until it gets there?
Exactly. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, there's a lot of cars right now that'll show you where all the Shell stations are, the Texaco, whatever station you want to look at,
mm-hmm.
they'll show you where all those gas stations. So the cars know already, you know?
It is so insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then what if, technology. What if you run into like a snow or an ice storm?
Well, again, there's so many different... There's so many, maybe you can't drive at all if you have an automated car. And everyone that's talking about this now agrees that even though the car would be fully automated, there would have to be a manual override. Because
yes.
if you did have a malfunction of some sort, you'd have to be able to drive the car. But now, I mean, we've already seen Volvo has systems that recognize humans. So if a human walks in front of a Volvo, in some of their models, it'll lock the brakes up and turn the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So you avoid hitting whatever the human in front of you. Almost all cars have anti-skid control now, so that when the car goes into a slide, it adjusts the brakes and the wheels so that it minimizes the skid or slide and keeps you going straight, which is pretty amazing if you've ever been in a car and done that. A lot of the stuff that we're going to see is already with us. It's just not all incorporated, and you can't get in the back seat and put your feet up and have a cold one on the way, but if your car drove itself, you could.
Yeah, I wonder if that would change the open container laws.
Well, and the other thing is, what's the problem with...
yeah.
Colby's already started. What's the problem with texting and driving then?
Or drunk driving.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what if the car gets mad at you, or what if the car has a mind of its own, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. Remember Space Odyssey? What was
Open
it?
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Oh, my God.
That's our future.
So you're in the garage, and you say, open the garage door, Hal.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
And you're stuck.
Oh, that's so creepy. Here's a great AutoFlex Leasing fan text. I'm legally blind, so I can't drive. Bring it on.
Oh, certainly. There's another thought.
Yeah. It would open up the door for more people to drive.
Does the car have to take a driving test at the DMV and get a license? That's the other thing. All this technology would have to be licensed.
Yeah.
So that's another big consideration from a regulatory standpoint. National Highway and Safety and Traffic Administration is going to have the lead on establishing what will be involved in an automated car. But I think without a doubt, certainly in the next 10 years, we'll have automated cars that drive themselves.
Would it lower the age of when you can actually drive? I mean, a 10-year-old could drive an automatic car or could ride in it anyways.
And tell it where it wanted to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they know how to work iPhones and things.
How mad are you going to be when you're running late and it won't break the speed limit?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be great.
You're just cussing at the non-steering wheel that you don't have in front of you anymore? See,
now, that's the other thing. You don't need a steering wheel. You don't need pedals. You don't need anything but a gas gauge, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. For somebody who doesn't like driving, this is perfect. I could just kick back and read a book. And
no, you'd be like Kobe. You'd be like, oh, hurry up.
I would, yeah.
Just pounding the dash, setting off all the airbags because you're so mad.
Yeah. Well,
and here's the other thing. As soon as they build this, somebody will figure out how to get around that and make it go faster. Trust me.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely
true. Get pulled over by an automated cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter. It'll be like Knight Rider.
It will.
Here's another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. What about the integration of auto cars and regular drivers? There's your issue because not everybody will be in these automated cars. They'll be ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 100 years away.
Eh, maybe.
We don't burn up the earth between now and then.
I got some matches.
Don't start.
All right, that wraps up our show for today. But if you have a question or if you're looking to get a new car, call AutoFlex 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Coming up next, it is the KNC Masterpiece. Thank you to Colby. We'll see you next week. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.